Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game hour number two. Chase McCabe here with you with Michelle Knezevic and Nick Keiser. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up at 11. We'll talk to John McClain from Houston at 10:15. Looking forward to that. GallerySports.com and 610 Sports Radio. That will be fun to talk to him. But how dangerous are the Jacksonville Jaguars? I would say pretty damn dangerous because they've been good, and they're a team that I don't think is going away anytime soon. Even if the Titans figure out a way to win this game on Saturday, I don't think they're going to go anywhere, and they're going to be the team that you're fighting for the AFC South for many, many years. But how do you combat a dangerous football team? That is the question that we're asking right now as the Titans get ready for a winner-take-all Saturday night.
And listen, it was clear yesterday when I went to the Tennessee Titans media availability, open locker room. It was clear. I mean, it is going to be a playoff environment in a playoff game. The players, Mike Vrabel, everybody said, you know, they are treating this like a playoff because it's win or go home.
Because it is. I mean, it is a playoff game.
It's win or go home. You get the division. And then, okay, you gotta play again. So, I mean, everybody in the locker room, you know, coach speak, player speak, we're not thinking about the other six games. We're just focusing on this week, on Jacksonville. But, I mean, it's going to be a tall task. It's going to be, I'm sure, a hostile environment. Jeffrey Simmons said he loves environments like that. And he actually tested, you know, Tennessee Titans fans to, you know, get down there. And he had a comment like, yeah, I mean, Cowboys fans travel. It felt like a home game for them in Nissan Stadium on Thursday. I was like, ooh,
they
shots.
They don't travel. They're just everywhere.
Well, yeah, that is a very good point, too. I was like, ooh, shots called. But, I mean, listen, it is. And,
sorry.
And we talked about in the first hour, this game could be a, you know, pivotal point for fans, for people on this team, for management, you know, because if they win, if they somehow have a magical run, which I doubt is the case, but listen, you get into the playoffs, anything is possible. There'll be a lot of change happening.
Shout out to Chris Sanders, because he's listening right now.
Oh, hey, Chris.
And he just texted me. He said, Jags are the same team, but they're playing with confidence and they believe now. And I think that's spot on.
Oh,
and that's
sure.
What makes them dangerous, because this was a team that when they started in August, you know, we all felt like, okay, they're going to be better. They made some big moves in the offseason, the biggest being hiring Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson was going to come in and work with Trevor Lawrence, develop Trevor Lawrence, make him into the quarterback that he can be. Now, they squandered some things early on because bad teams have to learn how to win. And that's how you become a good team. And even then, when you go from 2 wins to 4 wins or 2 wins to 6 wins or whatever, then the gap of 6 wins to 11 wins, that's even tougher. And that's kind of where they're at right now. They're, you know, can they win a division, or are they not quite there yet where they need another offseason? But they're confident. The Titans aren't. And that's the most dangerous thing that they're facing. Tim Hasselbeck was on with Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday, and he was asked about the Jags and how they're a dangerous football team.
Yeah, they're confident. It is coming together. I think the quarterback has started to elevate everybody else's play. And I probably said to you back then as well, look, Travis Etienne, like, he, you know, you watch a game and there are some players and you're like, you know, I know all these guys are fast, but man, he looks fast among a bunch of fast guys. Like, that's how Travis Etienne looks. Much like I think people felt that way about Tony Pollard when they'd see him come in the game after Zeke Elliott and they'd be like, you know what, he's got another gear. I think that, look, that's Travis Etienne. And so he has helped quite a bit, you know, with their offense, just his explosiveness in the run game, in the screen game. And so I think with that, and then I think Trevor has elevated his play in a way that I think he's made the receivers better. I think they're a really dangerous football team. because the quarterback, if you just go back to how people thought of him when he was being evaluated out of college, kind of one of these guys that, like, I think people felt like he could play at a level, an MVP-type level at some point in his career. I think he's trending in that direction. And so, you know, when you have that type of play out of that position, I think it matters. And then defensively, you know, they've continued to be a competitive group with guys playing hard. And, you know, I think the Dallas game is probably the best example of, you know, why that matters for their team.
Yeah. And look, he hit it. They're confident. And while the Titans played better against Dallas, they still lost. I'm not going to say that, you know, they're feeling, yeah, here we go. We're feeling great right now. I mean, they're, you know, I think they certainly have found a spark with Joshua Dobbs and being such a likable guy and a guy that, you know, came in 8 days and was able to, you know, do okay in that offense. It's only going to get better, you hope. But that's what you're going up against. You're going into Jacksonville, which historically has not been a dangerous environment to go play in, but you're going up against a confident team. I would suspect Saturday night they'll have a decent crowd. I think some Titans fans are going to travel. I know you're going to cover the game,
yep,
Michelle.
I'll be at the game.
But you know, that you got to go in there and just shut them down early and rattle a young quarterback.
Well, and I think this stat really says it all for the Jags. Since week 9, Trevor Lawrence has had a 14-2 touchdown to interception ratio, which is, you know, I mean, it's incredible, right? He's probably at the top of the league, if not, you know, right up there with some of the top guys. But it, whether it was a switch that just clicked for him, which a lot of young quarterbacks talk about, I think he talked about after the London game earlier this year, you know, he said he just, something happened where he got it more, right? Everybody kind of hits that rookie wall, and do you get over the wall? And what is that, you know, moment where things change for you or you look at the game differently? But Trevor Lawrence has been performing, and with a toe injury. He didn't practice yesterday, so I don't know if that's turf toe, but it was listed as toe for him. Didn't practice. He's going to play on Saturday, so nobody get excited. But he has been performing at such a high level. So, I mean, I think the key to victory for this Tennessee Titans team is you have to affect the quarterback. And I know that is a key to a lot of these games, but this team has not been able to, like, get sacks recently. I mean, with Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry both there, you know, still probably their bodies hurting, right? We're late in the season, week 18. Jeffrey Simmons said that somebody said, hey, are you feeling fresh after the rest? He's like, well, I mean, not fresh. It is week 18 of an NFL season, but definitely better than I was feeling before. Danico Autry wasn't in the game when they played the Jags the last time. And then hopefully, which I don't know if he'll be back at this point, David Long Jr., could he potentially be getting that IR designation back to play? I think it all comes down to impacting Trevor Lawrence. It really does up front, because I don't have too much confidence in the secondary. You know, Christian Fulton's been injured here and there. Roger McCreary is still a rookie. Obviously, you've got Kevin Byard back there, but, you know, we saw what ETN was able to do to this team.
Here's one way you can get to Trevor Lawrence. Make him cough up the football, because you mentioned the interceptions. Well, he fumbles quite a bit.
Yep.
In the last 3 games, he's had a fumble. He's lost 2 of them. On the year, he's lost 8 of the 11.
Wow.
So, look, the kid will still – he's taking care of the football through the air, but when he tries to make, you know, other plays, he's not hanging on to it. A little loosey-goosey with the football, you can get it out that way. And that's what they need to do. They need to force turnovers. They can't turn the ball over like they did the last time they played Jacksonville. But they need to try and force some turnovers.
Well, and they did a good job of that during the Cowboys game, right?
Yeah.
Dak coughed it up one time in the snap, and then obviously Kevin Byard had those 2 interceptions. But when you get turnovers, the offense has to capitalize off of it, which they haven't, which they didn't during the Dallas Cowboys game. But the Dallas Cowboys defense is obviously one of the top defenses in the league. It was Josh Dobbs' first start. I think that they have a better opportunity of being able to capitalize off of them during this, or against this Jags defense. But I mean, that's the most important part, because even if you're getting these turnovers and then you have a three and out, I mean, it's not going to do you anything. And this defense can't be on the field for as long as they've been. This offense needs to make some long drives, run the football. You're obviously going to have Derrick Henry, so that's going to help. What are you laughing at over
there? One texter on our on my personal text line. You want to know how to get to Trevor Lawrence? You drive to Jacksonville Stadium. Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. He also tweeted the other day, the Tennessee Titans are undefeated in 2023.
That's true.
But they also haven't played.
But he's not wrong. No, he's not right. He's not wrong.
No, to be undefeated, you need to play.
But I mean, they just have no record.
So they're not undefeated.
No, they are. They haven't lost.
But don't you have to play to be undefeated?
Not necessarily.
But technically.
Yeah, whatever.
Text us on our text line. What do you think?
Technicalities have been running this country for a long time. Just ask OJ. Anyway, 615-737.
Took me a minute on that one.
Yep, you're welcome. John McClain going to join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on DeMar Hamlin and that situation. Also, the NFL as a whole. Looking forward to talking to John. Coming up next, 1025, 1063, The Game. Back here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking you until 11 o'clock today. Let's head to Houston. Let's talk to John McClain, the legend, GallerySports.com, 610 Sports Radio, who joins us now. John, how the heck are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year to you as well. And look, you know, obviously we've been talking a lot over the last couple of days about DeMar Hamlin and just that frightening sight from Monday night. And you've covered the league, been around a long time, and I don't know if you've ever seen anything any close to that. I know Derek Mason on our midday show yesterday was talking about, you know, playing in his career and, you know, guys going through different situations. But to me, we've never seen anything like that before. And the good news is DeMar Hamlin's showing some signs of progress, as they're reporting earlier today that, you know, they're not having to give him as much oxygen. He's still sedated, but just a scary situation Monday night, John.
I have never seen anything like that specifically. I saw Gary Kubiak collapse on the sideline, have a stroke. They saved his life on the sideline. I remember when Derek Stingley was hit by Chuck Tatum and paralyzed for life, his heart stopped and they had three different times his heart stopped and they had to get it started again. And in 1971, I was in high school, and Chuck Hughes of the Lions, a wide receiver, he died of a heart attack on the field, only player to ever die on the field. And as soon as I heard Jack Buck say they were performing CPR, first thing I thought about was Chuck Hughes. And it's amazing back then, they took him off the field, took him to the hospital, and continued to play the game. NBC tracked down his wife yesterday, and she was watching the game. And she said she stayed awake as long as she could. She's 77, and she talked about the difference in what her husband was up against compared to Hamlin. She said the medical technology and what they knew back then was like the Stone Age compared to what they have today. I think if you're going to have a heart attack or cardiac arrest, and it's not going to be in a hospital, the best place you can have it would be in an NFL game. The NFL pointed out yesterday how every team has at least 20 different medical personnel who are trained in everything that could possibly come up. They have an emergency response. They practice and hoping it never has to be initiated, but it does, and it did in that game, of course. And it's amazing, and he's going to be really, really happy when he comes out of it and sees how they were on the field within 30 seconds and how they brought him back to life. You know, they had to get him back to life at least twice that we know of. And then they had him in the ambulance. And fortunately, the University of Cincinnati Medical Center is very close to the stadium. So there have been others. I saw on the internet A hockey player got hit in the chest with a puck,
yep.
skated a little bit and collapsed. And then I saw soccer where they had to perform CPR for 70 minutes on the field, and he survived. So hopefully Hammond will survive. And when he wakes up and his mama says, honey, you know that $2,500 you wanted to raise for children's toys? Well, right now it's up to no tell what it'll be. It's up to 6.5, I think I saw this morning. And hopefully he'll lead a normal life, and everything will end up being okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John McClain is with us, GallerySports.com, 610 Sports Radio in Houston. The NFL, and I think you agree with me, the NFL did the right thing by postponing the game. They're not going to resume it this week. The Bills and the Bengals are doing walkthroughs and meetings, but that's really about it. I feel like that it's such a small problem of figuring out the seeding and figuring out, you know, the schedule, but it is obviously something they're going to address at some point. But where do you think the NFL is at right now in trying to figure all this stuff out?
First thing, Roger Goodell will consult with the teams. He'll especially consult with the Bills. Do the Bills want to play that game? They could still get the top seed. That's what you play for in a season. The easy thing would just be to declare no contest, like they never played. Well, that would knock the Bills out if the Chiefs beat the Raiders, which, of course, they should. And that would give the Chiefs home field advantage. And that game was a really not just a great game on Monday night, but a really big game on Monday night because the Bills – the Bengals both have a chance to get home field advantage. You know, if they declared a no contest, nobody's going to complain except some fans. And then there's several things they can do. They have the bye week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. They have played Super Bowls without that bye week before. Players and coaches always like to play and get right back into it. The reason they have the bye week originally was to hype the Super Bowl. Well, of course, they don't need to do that anymore. And they could play this weekend and then on wild card weekend have Buffalo and Cincinnati. Pick it up where it left off. Just move everything back a weekend. And then there's other things about playing AFC playoffs, NFC playoffs on different weekends. To me, it's best like 9/11. Just move everything back a week. If you have to, and let those two teams play, unless both of them agree, go ahead and call it a no contest.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking to John McClain. So moving into you know this weekend with the Titans and the Jags fighting for the AFC South. You know, one thing that we've talked about today is no matter what happens Saturday night, the Titans have a lot of work to do this offseason. They have to address their offensive line. They have to address the offense. I mean, the defense, you got to sign Jeffrey Simmons, do some things there, but it's really the offense. And, oh, by the way, they have to go hire a general manager. A name that I have, you know, kind of thought of and heard is Rick Smith, the former Texans general manager. Do you think that he'd be a good fit? And what do you remember about his relationship with Mike Vrabel during their time together there?
Rick Smith did a very good job here as the general manager. He came in 2006 when Gary Kubiak was hired. They'd been real good friends at Denver. And if you go back and look at Rick's first-round draft choices, most teams blow first-round picks. He only blew one. And he still got him playing all over the NFL. And he missed on second and thirds and hit on fours, but he made some great picks. And he listened to Gary Kubiak, who had a big say in it, and so I think Rick would be terrific. He's very respected by the NFL, served on the competition committee for years. He's interviewed for a couple of jobs he didn't get. I was really surprised about it, but if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, he is one of the candidates I would interview. And when he was here with Vrabel, you know, Rick would go to practice, but he wasn't dealing with coordinators and position coaches. Romeo Crennel was a coordinator, and Mike was position coach, and then Mike was the coordinator in 17. But you know, I'm sure he ran into him, but it's not like they were breaking bread or meeting in Rick's office. But Mike knows him from watching him work and watching him and Bill O'Brien fight for control of personnel.
We've got John McClain with us from GallerySports.com and 610 Sports Radio. John, obviously the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars will be fighting to see who wins the AFC South and which team will go to the playoffs. Do you think that if the Titans win or lose this game, it will be a deciding factor in how they decide to move forward, whether they start to go for a rebuild next year or whether they decide to, you know, try to bring this core back and just switch out some pieces?
Michelle, absolutely not. Only a nincompoop would think something like that. But one game would determine an entire philosophy from the offseason. And I know Amy has a lot of trust in Vrabel. It's not like they need help on both sides of the ball. The team that needs help on both sides of the ball is the Texans, especially on offense. They're lucky because they have 11 picks, including two first-rounders, and we're hoping they don't blow the first overall pick by beating the Colts. But I think when you need help on one side of the ball, it's got to start with quarterback. To me, they'd be a good destination for a veteran. They don't want to draft a rookie and then develop him. You know, after watching Willis make two starts against the Texans, man, think about him being a big-time passer in the NFL is hard to do. But they saw something to like in him, but it looks like they still need a quarterback, and I'd go with a veteran like Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr or somebody like that. But I don't think they'd be going for a rebuild. You'd be doing Derrick Henry an injustice. As long as he's there and he's healthy, they're capable of beating just about anybody. You just got to get a quarterback that can work that play action like Ryan Tannehill did and taking away A.J. Brown. I remember when they made that trade, I was about 5 miles from NRG Stadium, and I could hear the Texans cheering in the draft room because they were so happy that Brown was gone because he had torched them ever since he came into the NFL. And whether Burks turns into that receiver, who knows? It's still early. You can't count anybody out. But between free agency and the draft, if I were them, I'd be spending a lot of picks and signings on offense.
If Ryan Tannehill comes back healthy, you know, in the offseason, would you stay with him or do you think you would still move off of him?
I'd move on. He's got that big cap figure, I think. He's been hurt too much lately. They got as much mileage out of him as they could. John Robinson made a terrific trade getting him from Miami. But to me, they need to look forward because say they bring him back and then he has an injury-plagued season again, and if they don't fix that offensive line, that's definitely could be an issue. But I'm looking for some new blood. I want to energize the fan base, all the ticket holders, the suite holders, the sponsors and everybody. And usually, like here, I think that's going to be with a new head coach and a quarterback like Bryce Young, and people will be pumped about it, even though the Texans have been awful. But sometimes you've got to give them that shot in the arm, and the place to start is a quarterback or head coach, and they're not going to be changing head coaches there.
Yeah, real quick, John, is Lovie Smith going to keep the job in Houston?
No, I think Lovie's going to be fired because his offense was terrible. He coached the defense. Pep Hamilton was terrible. It'd be really hard to get a proven coordinator and play caller to come in here knowing Lovie Smith could be fired one more year.
Interesting stuff. John, good to talk to you. Happy New Year, and we will do it again very soon.
Thanks, John.
Tracy, thank you, Michelle and Tracy. You guys have a happy New Year, too.
All right. John McClain, GallerySports.com and 610 Sports Radio, the legend. Covered the NFL for a long time. Obviously, the Houston Oilers knew Floyd. One of my favorite memories was sitting at the NFL Combine and having lunch with John and Floyd and just not saying a word, just listening to stories the whole time, and it was awesome. Coming up next, we'll react to some of the things you heard and Damar Hamlin as we continue here. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
If Ryan Tannehill comes back healthy, you know, in the offseason, would you stay with him or do you think you would still move off of him?
I'd move on. He's got that big cap handicap figure. I think he's been hurt too much lately. They got as much mileage out of him as they could. John Robinson made a terrific trade getting him from Miami. But to me, they need to look forward, because say they bring him back and then he has an injury-plagued season again, and if they don't fix that offensive line, that's definitely could be an issue. But I'm looking for some new blood. I want to energize the fan base, all the ticket holders, the suite holders, the sponsors, and everybody. And usually, like here, I think that's going to be with a new head coach and a quarterback like Bryce Young, and people will be pumped about it, even though the Texans have been awful. But sometimes you've got to give them that shot in the arm, and the place to start is a quarterback or head coach, and they're not going to be changing head coaches there.
That's John McClain joining us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking the time. GallerySports.com, 610 Sports Radio, the legend. He thinks they should move on from Ryan Tannehill after this season. 615-737-1025. Chase and Michelle here with you. It's tough. There's a lot of different, you know, as you try and get into this and you answer one question, it adds more questions. Because, okay, let's say you move on. And because you don't want to pay the money. And here's the thing. I said this about Luan. With that contract, I don't think he can be on that contract. You're going to have to figure that out, even though you've already moved some stuff down the road for the Julio Jones.
You mean Tannehill or Luan?
Tannehill.
Oh, Tannehill.
Because you moved some stuff down the road because of the Julio Jones trade. You have to figure that out. Okay. Well, you go to Jimmy G or you go to Derek Carr, like he said. Well, you're kind of in the same tier,
same
maybe
tier.
Even a downgrade. In some ways. But maybe you can get them cheaper. Well, here's the other aspect that I don't think we bring up enough that we should, because it is a part of all this. Yeah, you want to keep the window open because of Derrick Henry. Well, you also want to put a good product on the field, because what are you trying to do? What is the organization trying to do right now?
Build a stadium.
Right. And that all comes together. Now, you're going to have some fans that are supporting the stadium no matter what. And they're like, you know what? Honestly, I'd rather have the team rebuilt and be a really, really good team when they open the stadium in 26 or 27.
Yeah.
You have some that are like, well, if they're losing, why would I support that? You know, I mean, there's
why would I buy season tickets?
Right. There's all over the – because no matter what the team looks like, the price is going to go up because you're paying for the new stadium. That's just how it works. So they're in a tough spot. But I also liked what he said earlier in the interview. And if you miss any of that interview, it's at thegamenashville.com. You could subscribe to the new Chase and Michelle podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. I liked what he said early on in the interview, though, of you can't let one game determine what you're going to do in the offseason, because this team has a lot that they got to do.
Well, and we discussed that the first hour of the show, and I completely agree. And you shouldn't look at it that way. I know on the text line we've had some fans say, well, just blow this game, we'll get a better draft position. But you're really not getting a better draft position. Okay, you get a top 10 pick, but I mean, it's only really going to move, or it only really would have been a difference if they, you know, started tanking earlier in the season. You've already won 7 games, almost 8 games. So, I mean, that is not going to change drastically. But, you know, he did bring up a good point, and we talked about this earlier. Your defense and your offense are at two completely different points. Your defense just hasn't been able to stay healthy, which I know people are sick of hearing that, because this whole Tennessee Titans team hasn't been able to stay healthy. But, you know, this defense, you have good players on this defense. You look at the offense, and the offensive line being number one and number two, I'm going to give them the first two spots. But, you know, you've seen good things from Treylon Burks, Chigga Okonkwo, Derrick Henry. Obviously, you still have Dontrell Hilliard. Austin Hooper, we've seen more and more from. Right, you bring all those guys back. Whether you keep Robert Woods and draft a wide receiver, or you go get a veteran wide receiver, getting rid of some of the guys who, like Bud Dupree, who's got a big contract, right? Getting Zach Cunningham, getting rid of some of those guys, freeing up some money. You know, and you get a cheaper quarterback, which frees up some of Ryan Tannehill's money. You know, this team.
Yeah, but here's it, and Shane on our text line pointed this out, which is a very good point. If you cut Ryan Tannehill, it's an $18 million dead cap hit. You still save money, but you're still paying 18. Well, then if you turn around and you're
and pay
Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr, while they would be cheaper, they're still going to be in the probably 17 to 20 range. You're right back where you were.
So you're not even really saving money, but
and you're probably downgrading. Now the only I think the only way that they move on from Tannehill is if they just decide to blow it up and go with either a draft pick, because they could, you know, if they lose this weekend, they're probably going to pick in the top 10. So you could draft a guy in the top 10. You could maybe move up to try and get somebody if they're there and you like them and go that route. Or you just say, hey, we're going to see what we got in Willis and or Dobbs and move on. I mean, like you could do that, but and that's what I think they would do if they moved on from Tannehill. But I'm not convinced that they're going to move on from Tannehill. I just think they're going to have to redo the contract.
No, I agree. I don't think that they'll move on from him unless they go full rebuild mode. Because, like you said, Chase, okay, even if you can get one of these guys cheaper, like a Derek Carr, a Jimmy Garoppolo, and yes, it is a downgrade. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is injured right now. So you have Ryan Tannehill. You have a guy who's been in this system for years now. Vrabel loves him. No surprise about that. I mean, he talks about his toughness all the time. So what do you think they should do as far as quarterback? Because it's clear that Malik is not the answer.
No.
But and Josh Dobbs isn't either. I mean, there's a reason he's been in the league for 5 or 6 years, bouncing from practice squad to practice squad. You know, he is a backup quarterback.
You know what's crazy? The top four highest paid players on this team right now: Ryan Tannehill, Harold Landry, Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan.
Oh gosh.
What do they all have in common?
They're all not playing.
Yeah. They're all hurt. And then it's Kevin Byard. And then Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham. Then you finally get down to Derrick Henry. But I totally forgot Amani Hooker got a raise.
He got too. A raise too.
But and look, I would cut
Bud
Dupree. I would cut or vastly restructure Taylor Lewan.
And Zach Cunningham.
I would cut Robert Woods. I would cut Zach Cunningham. I'd have to do the math on how much that would save you, but that would save you quite a bit. You know, if you go full rebuild, then maybe you're moving on from DeNico, you know, or trying to move him or something. Byard obviously is a candidate there. I don't know how much you would get, but you know, you're looking at that. I think Ben Jones probably retires.
Yeah.
You know, here's another one, and this isn't a money thing. This is just a talent thing. Are we going to continue the Caleb Farley experiment, or are you going to move on there?
I mean, I
don't really know what they're doing. I mean, obviously he's got a rookie deal, so, you know, there's really not too much you can do there, but that's going to save you anything.
You're not going to save money. It's whether you cut him and you lose the money, or you just there's no sense in keeping him on the roster just to fill a spot where you actually could have somebody that you're using. We got a couple of thoughts on the text line. Jeff from Hendersonville. I think if you move on from Tannehill, just stick with Dobbs. If he sucks, you get a high draft pick and you go get Drake May. Then another texter says,
give me Drake May.
Another texter says, this is Ron. I believe Lewan will be easy to take a pay cut. He wants to retire a Titan, and he wants a chance to go for a ring if we run it back with minimal changes. Okay, so those are two different perspectives, right? So,
yeah. Okay, there's a phrase that I want to address coming up next that he just used.
Ooh.
I got to address this. Coming up next, we will do that as we put a bow on things, get you set for Caroline Willie and D-Mace. Coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for NFL pregame this Saturday live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, located at 1634 Galleria Boulevard. You can join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 4:30 to 6:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Jags. Pregame is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, yum, and Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Chase and Michelle, Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser hanging out. Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up in just a few minutes. They'll have a great show for you. They'll talk to Jonathan Hutton also. Continue to talk Titans and Jags coming up. All right, read this text again, because there was something that he said that sparked my interest, my spider sense.
Okay, so this is from Ron.
Hi, Ron.
On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I believe Lawan will be easy to take a pay cut. He wants to retire a Titan, and he wants a chance to go for a ring. If not, we will try to run it back with minimal changes.
Minimal changes. Minimal changes. Ron, could you define minimal changes for me? Because I'm going to tell you that they don't need to be minimal. You can run it back all you want, but you're going to be in the same situation. You're not going to be, except you're not going to win the division. You're not going to be in a position to win the division if you have minimal changes, because the offensive coordinator sucks. The offensive line sucks. Even if you get, Lawan to take a pay cut, I mean, there are other things that you got to do with the offensive line. You have maybe one receiver that unfortunately hasn't been able to stay healthy in his rookie year. I look for good things from Treylon Burks, but you got to get more there. Robert Woods has been meh, and he's going to be making way too much money. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, love him, but he's not a two. He's a three. That's just what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the bright spot has been the tight end position, because Hooper finally came on, and then Chigakonkwo has been coming on, but the offensive coordinator that sucks won't use him. So there's that. So minimal changes, I can't do that. You're going to have to do more than minimal changes if you want to run it back in the way that you're talking about.
Well, and take all of that out of the picture, there's not even minimal changes that need to be done with the offensive line as just one thing. You essentially need almost an entire new offensive line if you...
Yeah, I mean, you do. You're going to have... Like, I don't have an issue bringing Lawan back on the cheap. If he's willing to do that, I don't have an issue with that, because that's one less spot you have to worry about. Because Dennis Daly, I'm sure, is a very nice guy. I hope he is, but I swear if he's on this team next year, I'm going to scream.
Everyone is so mean to him. I know. He's had a tough year. He has had a not good year.
I know. And let me say this. In light of everything that has happened, that is one of the things we've talked about is, like, look, I know – that's why I said I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm talking about from a football standpoint, they got to upgrade that position.
100%.
I mean that when I say I'm sure he's a good guy. I've never met him, but they got to upgrade the position, and that's just simply what they have to do. The same with Todd Downing. Same with the offensive coordinator. I mean, I looking at this from a football standpoint, they got to have more than minimal changes. They just have to if they want to stay, relevant and competitive. If they win their third straight division title, great. It's going to be with a losing record. Is that how you want to do things?
Yeah. In the worst division in the NFL, I think we can say pretty.
Yeah, yeah. In the worst division in the NFL, with a Jacksonville team that is not going away, that's going to be good moving forward.
With a Super Bowl winning head coach and a franchise quarterback.
Bingo. And with a Colts team that, honestly, they got to find a quarterback, but
and a coach.
And a coach and a GM, probably. But, look, John Robinson's been good in those situations, so I'm sure he's going to be fine. Look, watch him get that.
That was Robbie, Joe, and I's called shots that he would end up being in Indianapolis, especially because, Jim Irsay has not been shy about how much the Tennessee Titans have just got under his skin, especially when John Robinson took over and started beating them consistently and winning the division. I mean, he's made it clear that he's not going to fire Chris Ballard. Wow, that was a major tongue twist. He's made it clear he's not going to fire him. But, also, too, we didn't think that Amy Adams Shrunk was going to fire John Robinson and gave him a contract extension and said that him and Vrabel were Vray Rob. So,
yeah,
who knows? But, you're right. Like, the Colts team is not bad. They have good pieces. Their offensive line is the most expensive in the league. Haven't played particularly well, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they could get their crap together. And listen, the Texans are about to draft Bryce Young, so get ready for that too.
Yeah, and you know, John McClain said probably move on from Lovie Smith. I mean, this division is not going to be the worst forever, and you're going to have to stay on track with that. You know, even if they, you know, take a step back and Jacksonville wins the division and whatnot, that's fine. But you cannot let this get too far away from you. And I'm scared they're in that position where that's what's going
to
happen.
Okay, Ron texted back in to clarify.
Hi, Ron.
Quickly, with a new GM, we should be able to make a turnaround easy. I see teams around the league who can go from suck to good in one draft, but you have to ace the draft. I mean, that is true. A retool in the NFL is not like other sports. You know, you can get a couple pieces and figure it out. And this team isn't a two-win team, which the franchise has been there before.
Yeah, the problem is, and that's it's a good point, Ron, but the problem is I have no idea who's going to be drafting the players.
Yeah.
Like, I have no, like, if, you know.
Or what is he, or what direction he wants to go
sure.
with the team.
If it's Rick Smith and an established GM, and you heard John say it, that, look, he was kind of like John, that he missed, John Robinson, that he missed, you know, he would miss on a few and hit on some. You know, if Vrabel's the one that has the final say in all of it, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, there's just so many unknowns. And, you know, I think – I mean, honestly, what I think they're going to end up doing is Ryan Cowden's going to be the general manager and Mike Vrabel's going to have final say. That's what I think is going to happen. And I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea. It might look really good. It might look really bad. Vrabel is showing you right now that he has more control because the third-round pick – of this year isn't playing. He's not starting. I think that's an indictment of, you know, what of John Robinson, and it shows you what Vrabel thinks about him.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of players that have been cut that were signed previously. So I don't know. I mean, and honestly, it's going to take a draft class to really figure out, okay, is this good or is this bad?
Well, and the benefit of it is that this past draft – you're actually getting guys that are playing and becoming a significant factor for you all, like Chig, like Traylon, like Roger McCreary, all those guys. Okay, use that to then draft more guys that can be make an impact for you all, and they cannot miss on this draft because you will fall behind, especially with other teams in this division surging.
Yeah, you can't. But it'll be interesting to see what happens as we move forward. But the good news is, you know, that Damar Hamlin showing signs of improvement. That's the latest that we've seen.
Yes.
And, you know, look, I think this is going to be a slow process. I feel like things are trending in the right direction. But if you missed yesterday on Stillman & Company, Walt Wells, who's the head coach at Eastern Kentucky University, he actually suffered a cardiac episode earlier this year and was back on the sidelines like 3 weeks later as the head coach. But it was dire. It was looking bad. And Joe Dubin, good friend of mine, good friend of ours, is his best friend. He gave some great insight on this situation and what he went through. It was a fantastic interview. So go listen to that at thegamenashville.com if you happen to miss it yesterday. But hopefully, you know, when we're on tomorrow, we'll have even more good news when it comes to Damar Hamlin. I know that Caroline Willie and D-Mace will discuss that as we move forward in the day. But also they're going to get into this matchup with the Titans. And can the offense stay on schedule? That has been Mike Vrabel's message. They will be discussing that. And I know D-Mace will have a lot of thoughts on that as Caroline Willie and D-Mace is coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.